a way to stay and abide in him and do all the things he's called us to do, because the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. Amen. So as we gather, it's a joy to be together once again, and first time for Margaret and I to be here. It's a privilege just to start to meet all of you, and we feel the love already. Even though it's a small gathering, it's just a joy for us to be here. It's a privilege. And if you have a Bible, please turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah 33, and we're just going to be in one verse today, verse 6. But when I was praying to the Lord about what to share with you today, this verse just jumped out at us, and it was so profound. The entire Word of God is profound, but every time I'm called to teach, I pray ahead of time, of course. Again, Isaiah 33:6. And topically, the Lord shared with me to talk about wisdom, because boy, we need wisdom now more than ever. We need wisdom to just to live, know how to be the church, know how to gather, know how to live in a dark world. And how do we be a light? How do we do all the things the Lord's called us to do in such an important time? And even what is our attitude going into all this? Are we down? Are we depressed? Are we just rolling over? Or are we truly looking forward to representing the Lord in everything we do? Because we're called to be a light. And as we're called to be a light, we truly can be now as this world grows darker. So here in Isaiah 33:6, we're called to embrace wisdom, really. And one of the first people to do this notably was Solomon when he first became king, right? Here his father David had practically put everything together to build the temple. And Solomon at the time was just a young man, and David is anointing Solomon to be king, and I'm sure it must have been overwhelming for a teenager to take over the reins of a people, Israel. And I'm sure he was just rocked to the core, and he was probably thinking about life experiences, and it didn't last very long. It wasn't a very long thought as a teenager, I'm sure. And so he must have been thinking to himself, how do I do this? How do I lead these people? So what does he ask for? He asks for wisdom. It says in 2 Chronicles 1:11, then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. So where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. And it's something we all need to ask for continually, because I need wisdom. I need wisdom right now. I need the wisdom of God just to live, to be a pastor, to be a husband, to be a father and a grandfather. Praise the Lord. I like being grandfather. I like that part. Especially now with another one along the way. And it's a joy to be family. And again, thank you that for your greetings, because we are family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is so encouraging. That's why we need the church. That's why we need to gather. And we have to continue to assemble. We have to find a way. But at the same time, we need wisdom. And as we seek the Lord, what we're going to look at today in this passage is, my title is The Fruit of Wisdom. So once we ask for it, we seek it, then what's the result of that? Okay, so we're gonna look into this in a lot of detail. Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless and as doves. You see the balance there. Wise as serpents and harmless and doves. We have to have that balance, don't we? The Christian missionary will need to be wary to avoid receiving harm, but he must be a guileless mind that he do no harm. Spurgeon said that. So again, you need that balance. You need to know when to be aware of the times and how to appropriately respond. We need to be strategic according to God's will, not man's ways, right? So that means we're constantly seeking God's will in our ministry. We need to be tactful and loving at the same time. And that doesn't come easy, does it? Because especially if we watch the news, and I don't know about you guys, but I watch the news and I'm not at peace when I watch the news. Can I put it that way? And we have a prayer group 3 times a week, and I gotta be careful watching the news just before a prayer group, because my blood is boiling at that time. So I've got to calm down, turn on some worship music, praise the Lord, and remember he's in control. And the news can say what they want, but our God's on the throne. Amen? And so that's where our strength comes from. So as we look at Isaiah 33:6, again, the title of our message is The Fruit of Wisdom. Let me read the text to you and then we'll pray, okay? It says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. God, we thank you for all you're doing here at First Baptist Church El Centro. God, thank you for the saints that are here. Lord, I just lift up all those that are hurting and suffering from everything that has been announced, but also the ones that are hurting from COVID. Lord, I will also lift up our president and just pray that he recovers quickly and he's able to do his job as thoroughly and effectively as possible. God, give him and his doctors wisdom as well, we pray, Lord, and we just thank you for the days ahead and the opportunity we have to be witnesses of your love. And we lift these things up in Jesus' name, amen. So contextually, let's look at what's going on with Israel, specifically, and Isaiah at the time. Israel's facing judgment and exile because they abused the land for 70 years. They didn't give the land rest of the farmers here. You understand, have to leave a land fallow for a while so it can get the nutrients back. The farmers there in Israel in those days weren't doing that, mainly probably because of greed. They just wanted to keep the crops going and get the profits going, and they abused the land. That was why the Lord came up with 70 years of exile in Babylon. That's where that number came from, because that's how long they abused the land. It goes on to say in verse 7 that the believers will weep. In verse 8, cities and nations in ruin. And verse 9, that the earth mourns. So all of these things were going on at this time in Israel, and they were on a downward track primarily because of their sin. And it was their sin that God was now judging at this time. They used the expression, a lot of the prophets, that Israel was playing the harlot, and that's why they were judged. Jeremiah said in chapter 2, verse 20, for of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not transgress, when on every high hill and under every green tree you lay down playing the harlot. And this was Israel's attitude towards God at the time, and they were being judged for it because Israel was essentially becoming like the world. Each of us in the body of Christ, as we live in this world, but we're not of it, we're in an observation role, and in a role where we can obviously see darkness all around us. Just read the headlines. We can see the light of the Lord shining through, That's why, again, that's why we gather, to encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron, so that we can be stronger even through these difficult times and encourage each other. That's what we're called to do. And essentially, because my message is the fruit of wisdom, we are fruit inspectors, okay? And so if someone claims to be a Christian, what's the first thing you look at is the fruit. What is the fruit of their faith? What is their family story? What is going on? What are they doing in ministry? How are they serving? What's their prayer life like? Are they in the Word every day? All those things we look at and we observe and we can discuss. How spiritually mature are they? Or are they caught up in some kind of sin that we need to maybe counsel them out of, pray them out of, whatever the situation is? We have to be able to apply the knowledge of God that we have in our hearts, in our minds, to that specific situation, especially if it's family. How many of you here have unsaved family, unsaved friends? All of us, right? That's who we're praying for right now. They're on our minds. It doesn't take long till we think about them, right, and pray for them. We're praying for prodigals as well. But we have to be a light, and we have to bear the fruit, don't we, of wisdom and the knowledge of God to be able to speak it into their lives. And when we do that, what are we doing? We're planting seeds, right? We're planting seeds of maybe a scripture or something to think about, maybe a different perspective. Because remember, in their lives, they're thinking about what's going on at their home that might be upside down. They're thinking about their career that most likely is probably upside down. Maybe they're just totally focused on making money or getting things, but they have no contentment. They have no joy. They have no love. And they can look at us and know there's a hope within us. And we'll be able to respond with meekness and fear and say, it's Jesus. He loves us. We have no doubt. If something happens to us, we know where we're going. And as you witness to your loved ones, you know, I think we need to challenge them now and just say, do you realize the path you're on? And it's a tough love, but we have to confront it many times. So again, we're fruit inspectors. And the key is abiding in Christ. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. To abide means, in the Greek, not to depart, to continue, to be present, to be held and kept continually. I love that. It's so important. We have to abide in Christ so he can keep us. Keep us from temptation. Keep us from sin. Keep us from evil. Keep us from falling into a dark world. And that's a loving kind of keep. I love that word, keep, because I need to be kept. I need to be kept close to God. And as I do that, I will constantly be seeking God's wisdom. So, how do we bear godly fruit? Abide in Christ. Okay, so again, in our passage, there's three parts here. Let me read it to you again. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Again, Isaiah 33:6, and I'd like to break it down in three parts. Number one, wisdom and knowledge brings the fruit of stability to our life. The salvation of our souls, number two, gives us the fruit of God's strength. And number three, the fear of the Lord delivers the fruit of his treasure to us. So again, number one, wisdom and knowledge brings stability to our life. We live in unstable times, don't we? Our nation is in turmoil. Many of our leaders are confused. Many of our people are anxious. And yet God is on the throne and his church is in a unique position to shed light on God's plan for humanity. What a great time to be a Christian. What an opportunity we have to be encouraging, to be inspiring, to be comforting, especially to the families that we just prayed for. You know, we can go in there. There's no guarantee all of them are saved, of those families that are suffering right now. But we can go in, and as I'm called to do many times as a pastor, and sometimes the families just want you there. They need to have a sense of hope in that moment of loss. And that's what we represent, and we have to take that responsibility very seriously, how we represent the Lord. Wisdom is from God. Here in Isaiah, the word in Hebrew is chokmah, which means skill in war, wisdom in administration, shrewdness and prudence in religious affairs, and also wisdom in ethical questions. So again, this is a gift from God, and we can apply it at opportune times in the lives of other people. The fruit of wisdom is the fruit of knowing God and applying His perfect will to our lives. The challenge, though, is we don't always know what God's perfect will is, do we? Especially with these families, again, that we just prayed for, people that are struggling in general, the will of God just doesn't automatically come in every situation. It's something we constantly have to seek, ask and seek and knock constantly. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. We're to constantly be seeking God's will in every situation in our life. And when we do that, we bear much fruit, because in those moments, then we won't be shaken. We won't be broken down. We won't be destroyed. We won't be discouraged. And again, what a great opportunity to be encouraging to others. Of course, Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." So once we know God, once we know Jesus, we study His word, we're constantly seeking Him, and He speaks into our hearts, then we can prove we have a general awareness, a working knowledge of who God is, maybe a direct word from Him, usually through His word, with no doubt, and we know what the will of God is in that moment. How? By the peace that we have, even in difficult times. That peace from God that surpasses all understanding, when we're struggling with our lives, that dichotomy of being able to be struggling with something, with a health issue, a financial, family, and yet have peace at the same time, what a great witness we can be in that moment. Knowing God's wisdom brings stability in uncertain times, giving us the opportunity to be a witness. That's, again, that's the opportunity that we have. Secondly, the fruit of knowledge of God. Where does knowledge of God come from? It comes from four places: from His word, from abiding in Him, from obedience to Him, and from seeking His will. From His word, Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The thing I love about that verse is it's direct. That lamp just shines down as if you had a flashlight and you were just shining it on your feet while you're walking on the path. All the Lord's going to show you is the next step. He's not going to show you everything in the future, like tomorrow and months from now and years from now, is He? He's just going to show you the next step. And what do we have to do with every step? Trust Him. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? And especially in difficult times, I need to know, okay, Lord, what's my next step? Margaret and I are praying. What are we going to do? And He usually says, Brad, Margaret, take a step of faith. Just step out. I'm right here with you on that narrow path. And as long as you abide in me, I'm going to walk with you. And I know it's difficult to take that step. But when we do it, trusting Him, He gives us the strength we need. That's the power of knowing God. From abiding in Him, we have the fruit of knowledge of God. John 15:9 says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." I love that, because When you know you're loved by God, you want to stay there, don't you? You want to abide in that. You want to be kept by a God who loves you. And that's where our safety and our security and our comfort comes from, is our Father in heaven who loves us and has a perfect plan for us. Doesn't say it's going to be easy. He just says, you got to trust me and walk with me through the fire, through the valleys, through the mountaintops, through every experience of life. The fruit of the knowledge of God also comes from obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Wisdom is knowing God's priorities. That's a continual part of life, isn't it? It's constantly assessing and reestablishing priorities. What's the most important thing? When you're in an argument with an unsaved family person who you care deeply about, the most important thing, the priority for them in your heart is that they get saved, but in their heart is to be loved. We have to be loving, right? 1 Corinthians 13. We have to be loved. If we're not loving going into a difficult situation, then we got to start over. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of noise, and the things we're saying aren't going to be taken seriously. Then fruit of the knowledge of God is also from seeking his will. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Wisdom is continually seeking God's will. Okay? And it's a loving process. It's not a burden, seeking his will. When we're praying and we're seeking his face on comfort for a loved one, or wisdom for finances, or for the church, or again, whatever it is, it's exactly what he wants us to be doing. When you're praying and seeking the benefit of others, especially you're in God's perfect will, what a great place to be. No place I'd rather be than in that place of God's perfect will for us. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Our life goal is to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, from Ephesians 3. That is a lifelong goal, to know how much God loves you. And in that passage, in Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, he says that one thing I wish you would know is the width and length and depth and height of his love. Four dimensions of love. For us, almost undiscoverable. We won't really know it till we see him face to face in heaven. But what a loving God we serve, amen. And what an opportunity you have to seek his love and make his love real to a non-believing world. Thirdly, the fruit of stability. He talks about stability here in Isaiah 33. The Hebrew word is emunah, which means firmness, fidelity, steadfastness, and steadiness. As a Christian, all of us, our houses, our homes, our home life should be built on Jesus, built on the rock, rock solid, no matter what happens. And because of that, the fruit of that is stability, right? Even, again, in uncertain times. So you have people coming over. We've got Thanksgiving next month. Can you believe it? And hopefully we'll be able to gather, right? However we're going to choose to gather. And I'm sure the conversation is going to be about the times we live in, right? Invariably. And when our family, especially our unsaved family, or maybe our spiritually immature family, let's say, is living maybe 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world, in that moment, we can make Jesus tangible to them through the lives we're living, through the love we have for each other and for them, and just the life we live. So they'll say, well, what's new, Brad? What you been working on? You know, and we can share with them what we're doing within the church and the lives that are being affected by how we minister, rather than maybe complaining about the world and, you know, politics and everything going on. We can say, this is what Jesus is doing in our life. Much better report, amen? Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. All other ground is sinking sand, like we sing right in the hymn. Not a place I would want to go back to, sinking sand. Stability is everything to us. When Margaret and I met, that was really the one thing, one of the things, but one of the most important things is what she called a normal life. But what that meant to me was stability. I wanted to be able to provide for her. I wanted to be able to provide a safe home, environment, loving environment for her. All those things that she needed to feel safe and bear fruit in a loving marriage. And so the path was clear. Provide a stable life for Margaret, Brad. And it's still a lifelong goal. Stability comes when you apply the wisdom and knowledge of God to your daily life. God's ways yield more stable marriages, more stable relationships, careers, and therefore more stable lives. Stability brings peace of mind. What value would you attribute to peace of mind? What value would our unsaved family and friends attribute to just having peace? And that's a good question for us to ask them. Where does your peace come from? You know, we know where our peace comes from. This is, again, another opportunity we have to witness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. And that's the fruit of knowing God. We have a biblical worldview that is different from a worldly worldview. What a difference in the message that we have. And again, what an opportunity we have to share Christ. Secondly, the salvation of our souls gives us God's strength. Boy, do we need strength now. We need wisdom and we need strength. We need strength to get through every single situation in our lives, now more than ever. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How comforting is that? The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So you know when you go into an uncertain time, God's going to be with you right there, leading, guiding, and direct you by his Holy Spirit. We need his might. We need his power. We need to have the victory of walking with him and represent him on a daily basis. The fruit of our salvation is joy. All of us as Christians should be constantly, part of our character should be the joy that we have that we're going to heaven. Our sins are forgiven for the cross. Thank you, Jesus. We should constantly be thankful for our salvation. That as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest part of the ocean, never to be seen again, is our sins. Thank you, Lord. And the people we're witnessing to need to understand that, because they have this wall, this big barrier, thinking, oh, my sins are so great, no God could ever forgive me of that, right? But no, that's the breakthrough that we're praying for, that they'll be able to realize the significance of the cross. And finally, thirdly, the fear of the Lord is his treasure to us. Almost sounds like an oxymoron. How could fear be a treasure? But let's look at it. The fruit of fear of the Lord is receiving his wisdom. It's the knowledge of his perfect will, providing stability for our times. That's his gift or his treasure to us. The word fear in the Hebrew is yira. It means fear or terror of an awesome or terrifying thing. It's the fear of God, but mainly it's reverence and it's respect and it's an old word we don't use as much anymore, piety. And when you have that view of God, that reverence, holy reverence of a holy God, and you're constantly seeking, you don't see him as a slot machine in the sky or something, you know, that you can just call on him and he'll give you things. It doesn't work that way, does it? He's a holy, loving, almighty God. And when you're in awe of his creation, his character, and his love, the appropriate response is reverence, or essentially fear of God. Of course, Proverbs 2:5 says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So it's a healthy thing to fear God because he's holy and he deserves that reverence. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." That's why we gather. That's why we worship him. And really, when we're worshiping him in song, what are we doing? We're saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for helping me through this time. Thank you for everything you do in my life." Honor, respect, and reverence towards the Lord is his treasure. It is a gift that God gives us, not so we will cower in fear, but so we will rightly honor him. And when we do that, then we can see him as a loving father, as an Abba father, as someone that we can always approach. Because of the cross, that veil was torn, and we have access to God directly. And I'm hoping and praying one fruit that comes from COVID and this turmoil we're living in right now, that the church, the body of Christ, that we get on our knees and we become a praying church again. I think we need that as well as anything. Excuse me. The fruit of fearing the Lord is his treasure. Deuteronomy 28:12 says, "The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." I love that because it essentially says that fearing the Lord is healthy for us spiritually, and God is going to bless that relationship. God's treasure is the fruit of God's wisdom and knowledge to us. That's his gift to us. And here in Isaiah 33:6, it comes in three measures. Number one, the wisdom and knowledge brings stability to our life, and that's our opportunity to be a witness in unstable times. Secondly, the salvation of our souls gives us God's strength, and that strength is the ability to make a difference in someone else's life. And thirdly, the fear of the Lord is his treasure to us. Fear God and know the riches of his glory. That is our opportunity in difficult times with a lot of mystery to know God's will for our life and just how to be Christians. Wisdom is a gift from God, and when we take it to heart, our lives will be better. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this great gift, this great treasure, God, the wisdom from above and the knowledge of you and just how good you are. God, I'd just like to lift up First Baptist Church, El Centro. Lord, all the saints here today, all the saints listening and watching online, and on the radio, God, I just ask that you bless and keep them. Speak to their hearts, God. Give them great courage and wisdom and knowledge and know how to appropriately respond to these times. If there's anyone here today or if there's anyone listening or watching, I'd just like to invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior so that you can know his will and know how to live a better life. Everything with Jesus is better. And if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to repeat this very, very simple prayer after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you receive the Lord, please contact us through the Facebook page or through the website at First Baptist Church El Centro. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to advise you on your next steps and how you can be a blessing to others. At this time, I'd like to invite Zion.